Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and we have messed with our audio just a little bit this week. You might be able to tell a difference. If you can, log in our chat. Let us know what you think. Jill and my co-host, let's start with my daughter.
The cool one, Mariah.
The cool one.
Yeah.
Was cool before you were born.
I know I got it from somewhere, so there you go.
And I probably have him cool since then.
Hey, hold on. Let's not tie ourselves here.
And my other regular co-host over here, my son.
Cross, the cooler one.
The cooler one.
No.
Shots have been fired. Shots have been fired.
Sometimes I wish we had a camera in here.
I taught you how to be cool.
I don't wish that we had a camera in here. Like, this is radio. We're not dressed properly for a camera.
Yeah, we're all in our pajamas. Just for that.
And today we have a special guest, Dr. Toni Robinson. I'd like to introduce her to you real quick. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Toni Robinson is a woman of many hats with one purpose, to see lives radically transformed by the love of God. She has been called a prophetic voice to the nations and has been serving in ministry for 30 years, speaking nationally and overseas. Having lived through many hardships and struggles, including the sudden and devastating loss of her husband of 25 years, her story is one of extraordinary transformation and beautiful change. She has a radical lover of God and wildly passionate about seeing others ignited and walking in the fullness of God and his destiny for them. She serves as an elder at Encounter Church, Las Vegas, Nevada, where she also resides. Dr. Toni is the founder of Toni Robinson Counseling and the founder and director of Daughters of the Well Ministries and Retreats. Welcome, Dr. Toni Robinson. I'm so happy that you can be here.
Yay. Thank you. I'm so honored to have been invited and the privilege of sitting with you guys this morning.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Really, like, we all kind of squealed when you were able to come because I know how busy your schedule is. You've got some really great things going on. We'll talk about that a little bit in the second segment, all the different ways that people can partner with you in order to move forward in what we're going to be talking about with our Bible study this morning. So, Dr. Toni, I don't know if you've got a chance to actually listen to our previous shows, but if you haven't, the format basically is this. We've got about 27 minutes of Bible study where we're going to chat about a particular section of the Bible, and we are right now roaming through Romans is what we call it because we're going kind of slow. We're taking it one topic at a time and just pulling out what we can from that particular topic. And then we'll chat pretty thoroughly about this, and we'll cut to commercial, and then we'll have lots of time to talk about some of the stuff you've got going on. So the bad news is before we get too far along, we have to take our first commercial break. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. And I will meet you in the green room, and we will be back after a word from our sponsor.
We all know that times are tough, and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Of all the grounding studies,
the one that really got our attention, is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. Here we are again. This is Felicia. We're joined by Dr. Tony Robinson. Woo, woo, woo! My sweet daughter Mariah and Cross the Man. What is it they call you at co-op? They call him Cross the Boss. Is that it? I can't call you Cross the Boss, my friend, because I'm the boss. All right. So today we're going to talk about sparks that start a fire, and we're going to talk through our scripture, which is Romans 2:1-5. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we're going to chit-chat a little bit about that.
Yay, we're in chapter 2.
You're in chapter 2. It felt like forever getting into chapter 2. So actually, I've worked ahead a little bit, guys. We're not going to spend quite as much time in chapter 2 as we did chapter 1, so you might be thankful about that. That's why we call it Romans through Romans, not racing through Romans, okay? So here it goes. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. That's Romans 2:1-5, for those of you who are following along. So, man, that's like a whole mouthful of scripture right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anybody ever have a problem with judging?
Yeah.
We've got hands going up over here. Like, I think we all do sometimes. We work really hard. We want to please God, right?
Right, pretending to be perfect over here. I am perfect.
I live with both of you, and none of us are perfect. Okay. So we want to please God. We love the Lord, right? And so the last week we were talking about sin, and we were talking hardly, and that was really directed. Remember, this letter is directed to the Roman Church. This letter is directed to the Roman Church, and the Roman Church is predominantly Gentiles. And that whole first section about sin was directed towards the sin of the Gentile. But now Paul is addressing the Jewish people in Rome, okay? The chosen ones, right? Does anybody else ever think that, you know, maybe maybe someone other than the Jews think of themselves as the chosen one?
Someone other than the Jews.
Yeah, like maybe us. Mm-hmm. Do we as a church ever think, oh gosh, you know, like God likes us best or something?
Sure.
Okay, so.
I'm his favorite.
So a lot of times we either falsely spend our time focusing on being good Christians, and I'm doing air quotes, you can't see that, guys, but good Christians or a church, okay, dotting all of our I's and crossing all of our T's, and thinking that if we pray hard enough and do enough and call out the sins of others, that God will use us more. But this doesn't seem to really be the truth that Paul's expressing right here. We tend to think of ourselves as special or chosen or predestined, and therefore we can do no wrong. After all, aren't we God's favorites?
No.
No, why not?
Because Israel is God's chosen people.
Israel is God's chosen people, right? But are they his favorites?
No.
No. Why?
Because he loves all of us.
He loves all of us, and he's also an impartial judge. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of this whole conundrum. We know that God loves everybody, and we know that he hates all sin, but somehow we disconnect the fact that God loves everybody and he hates all sin, and we think to ourselves that because he loves us especially, he's just going to overlook our sin. And so God, of course, like any time that we sin, the wages of sin is
death.
Wow, you guys are good. So let's know that if death is the way that I work, or if sin is the way that I work, that
death
should be the check. That's in one of our favorite songs. We like that one, right? Okay. So. Oh yes. So we know that. Okay. But we somehow think that because God is, he is patient and he has forbearance. Do you know what forbearance means there, Cross? Forbearance means that. I have power, but I hold it back and I withhold it wisely, okay? In other words, he has the power
to just zap your head.
I guess he could zap your dad. He doesn't do that all the time, right? Okay.
He did it one time and somebody touched the ark.
Yes, he did that. So, like, we know that he could pay us our wages immediately, but he's patient with us. And he exercises forbearance. And sometimes we as people misinterpret that as God being okay with our sin. And that's not true at all, is it?
Nope.
So what is that patience and forbearance? Well, before I even get through there, okay, I tend to judge others, right? Okay? Especially if I've broken a bad habit. Especially if I have turned away from a certain sin. I'm going to look at this person over here who's still engaging in that sin, right? Oh, look at them, still bound by that sin. I got through that by doing such and such and such and such. Or sometimes, God be praised, sometimes he immediately releases me from a sin upon salvation, right? And I tend to judge someone else. But the problem is that I judge really poorly because I judge myself based on my good intentions, right? I know what I'm thinking in my heart and my head. I know when I sin, I don't mean to sin against God, and I love the Lord, right? But I base everybody else based on their actions that I see. I think. And so I tend to judge my attitudes, and I judge other people's actions, and I do so in my own flesh. That's never a good thing, is it? But God judges rightly. He judges correctly not only our actions of our and our intentions of our heart, but he does so impartially, meaning that all sin is to be punished, but he loves all people, so he gives them away. In other words, the only thing that makes me righteous before God is my repentance. His patience and kindness and goodness is supposed to bring us to a place where we repent of those sins. And that place is where all the real, like, magic in our walk with God starts.
So it's not really that our sin will go unpunished if we go to heaven, that we will be punished, but it will be punished justly, because sometimes if to me, I'm like, okay, I agree with that. That is just punishment. And if I said something, I'll take back what I said and I'll apologize. And I will say that the punishment is just.
And sometimes you don't agree with it, right?
Yeah, sometimes I'm just like, why?
So why? I don't like this. The only difference is that when God's the one who's coming up with the rules, is I disagree with God, who's right?
God.
Every time. Man, it's rough. Whenever I disagree with God, God is the one that's right. So I find that if I'm struggling to see God's favor, God's power, and his revival, which we as a church pray for all the time, I must allow God's grace and graciousness to lead me to repentance. Okay, anybody have anything to add to that before we move on? Because I talk a lot.
I think it's important to point out that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry, and I promise not to do that again kind of thing. But repentance, it's literally turning around.
Mm-hmm.
And going the other direction. And a lot of people are like, oh, if I just say sorry and three Hail Marys, then we're good, we're squared away. And it's like, no, it's repentance. It's not just a get out of jail free card. It's an act of not just words, but of action as well.
I agree. What did you have to add there, Dr. Tony?
I was going to say, I think it's important that when we are looking at repentance, right, because we've been called to live a repentant lifestyle. And I think one of the mm-hmm. things that we sometimes lack understanding or wisdom on is the definition or the meaning of the word repent, what is metanoia or metanoia, which means to change your mind. It means to turn your thoughts. So even when the scripture talks about, you know, being renewed or transformed, your mind being transformed, because we have the mind of Christ now. We no longer have our own mind. We have the mind of Christ. And so when we walk from a place of true repentance, it means we've changed our mind. We've changed our thought process. And I think in so much of church culture, we have thought or taught that meant like we have to change our mind about sin. We have to turn away from sin. But what it's actually implying is that we change our thoughts and we change our minds about God, which changes our view about God, which brings us to a place of we're about face, where we're approached face to face. What God like is in John 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word with is pros, meaning face to face. So when we repent, we walk in metanoia. We have turned our minds. We turn our thoughts. We change our minds about God until we're about face. So we're facing him face to face, where we come into that place of deep, intimate relationship. And once you come to that place of relationship, it is almost impossible to look away. So I don't turn back to the things that I used to do because I've repented. I've turned my thoughts towards God. I've turned towards him. And when I turn towards him, I see him for who he is. And I think that's important that we have to have that understanding and leading people into that truth of repentance, because otherwise we'll get on a religious cycle of, oh, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, don't kill me, I don't do it again. God, I'm sorry, forgive me, I won't do it again. But that tells me that there is a part of them that has not actually walked in repentance. And we still believe we have a sin nature, which we do not. And the Bible doesn't tell us we have a sin nature. We have a new nature. And the more we can draw from the truth of our new nature, the more we go to the one who's given us, begins to break cycles. That mm-hmm. the cycles can be broken, right? And then I think what happens
right.
in that, and you can stop me if I'm talking too much, because, you know, sometimes I do. So sometimes we find ourselves on the wrong side of the cross. And we want to live like Jesus before the cross instead of living in Jesus after the cross, where we are dead to sin, right? Because the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die. And in that death, that's not speaking of physical death. That means the death of our old nature and our old self. When we came to Christ, we died in him, and now we're resurrected. So we're a new nature. And so then when we can begin to bring people into the truth of what repentance looks like and living a life outside of our new nature, then we lose sin consciousness and we become more aware of our righteous consciousness.
Right, right. No, that's an absolutely excellent explanation. We dove deep last week into sin, and it really goes along with that definition for repentance, and that is that original sin took place in the Garden of Eden, and that was when Adam and Eve removed the apple. Well, it's not an apple, right? It's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And a lot of times I'll say, oh, it's an apple. It's not an apple, but we say that because it's easy to say, right? They remove the fruit from the tree, and they take a bite, and that was supposed to get them knowledgeable about what was good and what was evil. But before that, in the state before they were fallen, God was the one that was in charge of dictating what was good and evil. So the actual sin that they're partaking in is taking for themselves that decision of what they are going to say is good and evil. Sin's not necessary. It's not necessarily doing something bad, but it's doing something outside of God's will and outside of God's kingdom. So we're living in a rebellious nature against God's kingdom. So to repent, that whole changing of mind is all about us changing our mind from being set on what we want to do and instead being submitted to what God would have us do in his will, you know? And obviously if we're working within God's will, we're not going to be drawn to sin, right? But yes, I agree. It's totally about that changing of the mindset. And something that we didn't really cover, we talked about covenant, and we talked about the great exchange, but we just kind of like bounced over it. That whole, I'm dead to myself because I was crucified on the cross 2000 years ago when Jesus died. And now I live as him in my resurrected body. And therefore I should be doing the things that are in the mind of Christ, which I now possess within me because I died and a dead man can't sin, right?
That's right.
So,
that's
like,
right, because we're no longer slaves to it. Yes.
They don't breathe.
Right, right. But dead guys don't sin. And if I crucified myself on the cross with Christ and I now live as Christ and I have the mind of Christ within me, then all I have to do is be submitted to that mind of Christ, right? And every time that I diverge from that, because I'm a saint, okay, that still sins. I once, for a split second in history, was a sinner saved by grace. But ever since then, the Bible says, I am a saint that occasionally sins.
Come on.
But I
come on. Come
right,
on.
Right? But we want to continue to repent and continue to come down on our knees before the cross. Because every time we diverge, we affect our witness and we affect our relationship with God. So like, cross, for example, if you upset me sometime, okay, you're my son, right? And I love you. And when you upset me, I'm not going to take you down to the Clark County office and change your last name and unadopt you. You don't not become my son because you upset me, right? He's just smiling at me. That would be a little work, right?
Yeah, I think it would be more work than for you to just ground me.
Okay, so, but let's talk about that grounding, okay? How's our relationship when you've upset me and you've done something wrong to me?
It's bent and broken.
It's bent and broken. It's not as solid as it could be, right? But when you're operating within your parents' will and when you're doing a great job and when you're being kind and good-hearted and you're loving God and loving other people, how's your relationship with your parents?
Better.
Better. Do you get all sorts of spiffs when that happens? Now we're going to take you out for Pringles and for ice cream. We're going to go to the arcade. Are we doing all that when you're being naughty? No, because our relationship is fractured.
That does sound nice.
It does, doesn't it? And in the same way, God does it when we sin as saints. He doesn't take us to the book of life and scratch out our name and go, well, you're ejected from the family. We don't like you anymore, right? He keeps us. But our relationship is fractured, and it causes problems, okay? So if, like, I remember for a long time, I would be like, man, I just want to experience God's favor. Like, where is that? Y'all, that's in obedience, right? Like, it's in obedience. It's in submitting to God's will. And when we're not unadopted, he doesn't stop loving us, but it totally causes problems in our relationship. And we're not really aligned for God to be able to move in powerful ways in our lives a lot of times.
If I can.
Yes, you can. That's why you're here. Come, bring it.
I can't be wrong on this one. I'm still kind of, like, churning in my mind. But also, like, when we get in trouble, like, it's there's some people where it's like, well, I'm okay with getting in trouble as long as I get to do what I want to do, you know?
Right.
And that, like, let consequences be hanged. I'm willing to take whatever I can, you know?
That's called apologize later, right?
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is if the cross does get in trouble, it's not just him who suffers. All suffer. If he gets grounded from TV, we only have one TV. All of us are grounded. And it's like, bruh, what did you do?
I nasty look.
Right. And we get, like, super upset about this. But, like, here's the thing. If you're getting in trouble, Lord, not just you, because then the people who are watching you or the people that you're shepherding or the people that you're around, they also get a hard time because they're like, well, I thought things were okay with you and the Lord. What happened? Is that going to happen to me? Or I don't think I can trust a God like that because, one, they don't know what's going on in your life or what you did. But, two, it's like, everything that you pour into them is now off balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And not only that, but we're not even touching unity and how unity within the church affects God's power to move within a church, okay? So, like, repentance, we're just talking about this as that spark that gets everything started, but there are other things that can cause issues, and disunity is one of them. Let me see here. I'm looking at the time. That's not going to happen. Amount of time. So I have a couple of extra points to make, but I just want to kind of throw one of them out there before we hit commercial break, and then we'll catch up with the other two and just sit around and chit-chat for a little bit. Is that okay, ladies?
Yes.
And gentlemen? And gentlemen,
yes.
Who's here? Repentance requires me to surrender my sinful behavior and to submit to God's righteous will. I think we've really covered that. But when I sin after salvation, God's grace allows me to stay in the family and creates tension in our relationship, but I can be restored through repentance. Secondly, every time I repent of something, I make a conscious effort to realign myself with God's will step by step and incrementally. God wants to use believers who are aligned with his will to multiply and exercise dominion over the earth, which was the original plan. Look at Genesis 1:28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over every living thing that moves on earth. Subdue, the word is kabosh, and it means to bring into bondage. What were Adam and Eve supposed to bring into bondage?
Sin.
That's a really interesting perspective. Tell me about that, because Adam and Eve haven't sinned yet, so.
So we don't
that's
know.
That's true, though. So can you expand on that, or do you not know where that came from?
We don't really know, like, how long it was before they sinned. It could have been hundreds of years.
Like, we don't.
Adam was, like, 900 when he died.
Okay, but what's crazy is we know one thing, and that was Satan was in the garden.
Before they were.
I mean, we don't know if it was before they were, but about that same time, like, we were born into a battlefield, basically. We were supposed to multiply and subdue the earth because Satan and his demons had been set down here, and we needed to reclaim the earth for God.
So we're like God's army.
We're God's army. So we can't, like, go about acting like, you know, flowers and princesses are enough. Like, he gave us the word of God. He gave us the full armor of God for a reason. We weren't coming down here for vacation. We were coming down here for a battle. People were created in a world where Satan existed already. Spiritual warfare has been a reality since day one. We just didn't know it. We were to bring God's authority and kingdom with us to earth, but we only accomplish this when we are submitted to his will and return that proverbial apple to the tree. My body is God's temple. That's located in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. When I as a Christian follow my flesh, I obscure God's light in the world. And when I submit to his will, the Holy Spirit is free to move freely through me. And that is that spark that starts revival. When I stop obscuring God's will and God's presence through me, it allows God to be able to move in powerful, powerful ways, the same kinds of ways that he moved in the book of Acts. That's all still available to us today. But I have to allow God's light to shine through me. And when I act on my own, when I sin, when I make myself my own God, small g, instead of making God the righteous God that he's meant to be, I obscure his light and his power. Boom.
Okay.
You have something to say there?
So I have a question that I think maybe some viewers may also have, where you said we're a part of God's army. And, like, just for laughs, in case somebody is actually thinking that, what if they ask, well, what if I didn't sign up to be a part of this army? What if I don't want to be a part of that? And it's like, I don't want to be in rebellion against God, but I don't want to be a part of a battle either. That sounds a little detrimental right there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to that?
I think that's a really good question. I want you to hold on to it. We're going to come back in 3 minutes after commercial break, and we'll talk about it. Is that okay, Miss Dr. Tony? Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
We can go to commercial break and talk about that. Okay. That'll give me some time to think about it, too. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hey, Freedomist Proof here. Just want to let everybody know that I have a trusted source for EMF protection. So you can block out this 5G possibly from your cell phone or any other electronic devices. Go to groundwithgia.com and please check out the selection of products that you might need to help filter out all this electronic garbage that's going to get into your house and to your life. So most of us have cell phones except for me. You're going to want to protect yourself. We all have Wi-Fi, and you definitely want to do something about this. Please check it out, groundwithgia.com. That's ground with G-I-A, Gia.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill. Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia, joined by my daughter,
Mariah,
my son,
Cross,
and our special guest,
Dr. Tony.
All right, so before we cut, we're going to go crazy, right? Okay. It's like a pajama party in our room right now. We can talk about Jesus.
We're laying on a soft and comfortable bed.
And every once in a while, the dog figures out how to break in. It's really fun. So Mariah actually had this like super duper amazing question, and I wanted to let her ask that again and sit back for a minute and allow Dr. Tony to address it.
So my question is for those who are listening to what Mom was saying about how we're all part of God's army. What about some of us who are like, I don't want to disobey God, but I didn't sign up to be part of an army. I don't want to fight, but I don't want to disobey God either. So what do I do?
Okay, I think there's multiple ways of looking at this. Because I probably side with those people. I didn't sign up to be in God's army. I signed up to be part of God's family. And being part of his family, we do know the Bible is clear that there is spiritual warfare, right? And I think sometimes this is for people who don't understand spiritual warfare, or you maybe you're new to all of this teaching, right? The war is not actually against God, because the devil is not like, when I was growing up, we would see little cartoons where it would be God versus the devil versus God, good versus evil kind of thing, right? Well, the angel is, the devil is a fallen angel. And so, like a friend of mine says, he's an unemployed cherub who's like constantly trying to bother me. But he's a fallen angel, so he's not equivalent to God. So there's no war against God. The war is actually against us. But we have to understand that in the war, what the war is about. The war is actually about our identity as sons and daughters. And so how we can proactively engage in spiritual warfare is by actively saying yes to God's will and no to everything else. Well, someone might say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Like, I don't know what God's will is. Well, primarily the will of God for us as his sons and daughters, is to know him, to know that we are known, to be loved, and to love. So if the minimal thing that you do would be to know God and to know that you're known by him, to be loved by him, and to love, you're already three steps ahead of the game we call spiritual warfare, right? And because ultimately we're fighting, if we don't know how to actively engage in spiritual warfare and we think of it as an army, like a natural army, then I think we're actually thinking of it wrong. And because one, we're dead we're dead, right? So we're new creatures, we're new creations.
Right.
So that means we ought to rise up and try to do this thing, like we're going to engage in this warfare kind of thing. And also the enemy is defeated. He was defeated at the cross. So it kind of was the way that I came up being taught how spiritual warfare looked like. We're all in God's army, and actually there's nowhere that I really can figure or see in the scripture where it tells us you're a soldier in God's army. No, I'm a daughter in God's family. And
right.
So knowing that, making that, having that, that whole thing, that empowers me to rise up in my identity, because once you know who you are God's son, you are God's daughter, that will empower you to rise up and to begin to live a victorious lifestyle, which again puts you three steps ahead in the thing we call spiritual warfare. And in this thing, I think when we're in this, we're in the army mindset, right? And it's like, okay, where, what does this look like? What's our role in here? We have these weapons. We have the, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, and these are all our instructions for life. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. And also, just, you know, for those that don't know, once we've been placed in this armor, it doesn't come off. It's just, I remember we would go through this thing. We put it on every morning, and it's like, why am I putting this on every morning? This is naturally ingrained in me. It's a byproduct of the cross, so I'm not come off. And so standing in identity, and standing in identity, I'm standing, I'm suited and booted, right? And so the fight begins to look different, because now that I understand the war is against my identity, and so
right.
My the way I'm rising up is to stand in that right identity. That's for me what being in the army of God looks like. It's like I'm part of the family, and God is my father. He's my protector, and I go to him for everything. And when I'm engaged in spiritual warfare, because the warfare is always against your identity, and then it's always after your gifting. And so knowing those two things, what I do is I know what the will of God is for my life, and that is to be known and to know, to be loved and to love. Then I'm defeating everything the enemy can throw at me, because his warfare doesn't look like our warfare. And I know that, I don't know about you, Felicia, but I came up, right, having to rebuke the devil and bind the devil and all of this stuff that's not actually biblical. The apostle, I think the scriptures that says that, like, we don't even have, like, not even Michael raised the, you know, accusation or railing word. I'm bed up for a long time and went to bed late, so I'm butchering up the scriptures against the enemy. So it's like all of the stuff that we're doing, we don't even understand the premises of what binding and loosening is actually about. It's about allowing and permitting. And so I didn't know how to engage in spiritual warfare, so I was on full GI commando general mode, like, let's go out and we're in this army and we're in a, and it's like, I'm really okay, I'm here, but I don't want to fight. Like, do I have to? Like, I don't want to be under attack.
Sure.
I don't want to be hit by all this stuff, right? And so then when I realized what it looked like was not what I had actually been taught that it looked like, and God began to really break it down for me, how I began to engage in spiritual warfare, even if this army thing was different. I just resist the enemy, and he flees. And it's like, nope, I don't agree with that. That's a lie. Nope, don't agree with that. That's a lie. I know who God says I am. I know what God says about me. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm eternally secure. I know that I know when I'm knowing these things, all of a sudden the war changes, and it's easier to be in the army when you understand how it operates.
Right, and I'm also gonna say this, is that we're in the family of God, okay? And what I'm gonna say though is that if there was an army, our rank isn't private. If we're in the army, we have significance. We're a general. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not the president. We're not calling the shots, but we have dominion. And God gave us dominion in the Garden of Eden. And then when Christ came and he sacrificed himself on the cross, and then he died, and then he resurrected. And when he resurrected, he collected the inheritance due to the children of God, and that was to collect dominion back again. And before he left, he said that all power in heaven was under his influence, and he gave that back to us. So he restored dominion to us.
Did.
The problem most of the time with our identity is we don't understand who we are in
exactly.
God. We don't understand. You know, I don't want to fight a battle, but we need to understand. The battle's won. All we're doing is basically adjusting our perception to God's reality. And sometimes that can be really hard because we don't get to see heaven's side. You know what I'm saying? Like, death is an interruption to our course, but it's not final by any stretch of the imagination.
At all.
In fact, there's
more
life and reality on the other side. But we got to adjust ourselves to that perspective. And we have to adjust ourselves to the perspective that Satan hasn't won. Not only has he not won, but he has no power. We have all the power.
Yes, yes. Yes, we do. And that is the natural progression because we come into the kingdom, we come in as orphans because we don't know that, you know, God is for us and not against us. He's not mad at us. He's mad about us, right? And so we come in with almost an orphan mindset, and then that's being elevated and transformed and renewed to know who we are. We're sons and daughters. And once we get to that place and we realize that truth, there's a greater truth that not only are we sons and daughters, but we're kings that has been given dominion to rule and to reign in Christ's stead, in Christ, abiding in him on the earth. So it's a progression that we get, that we walk through. And again, you are so right. It's about our perception. It's about our lens. But unfortunately, when, let's say, if you don't come into the kingdom until you're 40, you have 40 years of misconception and misalignment and misidentification. Most of us don't even know, like, we don't even know the reality of who God is, right? Because I can't speak to everybody, but when I came up, God was presented not as who God is. So I didn't even know God. God in my mind was this very Zeus-like authoritative figure whose sole job was like, you know, you got to live holy. You have to live right. Every step is like, because God's just watching and you're going to be in sin and God's going to be angry and he's going to turn his face away from you, which is an absolute lie because nowhere does it tell us that. Because I know there's a scripture that says that you can't look at sin, but the next verse says, but why do you? Sin is actually, it doesn't repel God. Sin is actually a magnet for God. And the reason I say that is that I love how Dove Alexander says that, and I forgot that from, is that sin is a magnet for God because God is the only cure for sin. And so when we sin, it doesn't repel God. It draws him to us like, listen, look at me. Remember who you are. Here's the blood of Jesus right here to cover this. It's like, so he doesn't hide himself from you. What it is like, my friend Rob Brodowski has this comment. He made this, he was preaching this quote, and he said, religion says, I've sinned, my dad's going to kill me. Relationship says, oh my gosh, I've sinned, I messed up, I need to go get my dad. And like, I need to, you know, and so it's that kind of mindset. But if we don't even have a right concept of who God is, of his goodness, I love that you said, what you said before about it, and even into, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. But if we think that God is mad at us, then we'll shy away from his will, from his purpose. Because we'll feel like we're constantly in this dichotomy where we can't live up to it. We're not good enough. How can I go into a battle? How can I be in an army? How can I even do all these things? Because I'm still just hoping God is pleased with me because we don't know that there's never been a point in time in the history of life anywhere ever that God has ever been disappointed and displeased with us, even before the cross. because the cross didn't prove our value, didn't the cross didn't make us valuable. It proved our value, right? And so
right.
when we get the right concept of God, everything changes. And that's what leads us in this path. That's what brings us to this place of Romans, of living a repentant life, of being able to actively engage in the things that God has called us to actively engage in without fear or trepidation, because we know who God is. But if we never have a right concept of him, that makes it difficult, I think.
Right. And can I also say that, and all this is great, and you started talking about our value, and you said something earlier this week on your Facebook page that just, I can't tell you, I think it made my whole year. Like, really, I was so thrilled to see it. And I paraphrased it the other day, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of explain what you meant by that just a little bit. And that was that... that I am is enough, and therefore I am enough. Because I see all over, it's this cultural, this pop culture thing to say, I am enough. And it drives me a little insane. I'm going to be real and say, like, it hurts my gut every time I see someone say, you are enough. Because in my spirit, I know in my flesh, I'm not enough. I wasn't enough. I was sinful before the mind of Christ, before the Holy Spirit. I wasn't enough. And the more I try to convince myself that I was enough, the more I see my error in thinking that I was enough. Like, it's this bad cyclical cycle where I'm trying to convince myself that I was enough, but really I wasn't enough. God was enough, and I'm enough for him. You know what I mean? And thank God I am enough for him. But he's the one that's enough. And so did you want to, like, kind of unpack that a little bit for us? Because that just really made my heart so happy.
I am looking for the post.
Okay.
I don't remember this post.
Oh.
And so if I could see the post, then because I'm in different mindsets when I'm typing, so when I can see it, I can know exactly what my frame of mind was in. I have one here that I shared where I was posting that I am loved, my entire life and eternity is hinged on the revelation and realization of this great truth. I am loved. I don't see the one about I am enough. And usually if I'm quoting an I am, I'm actually talking about I am as in he is, right? Because my sufficiency is in Christ. It is not in my own, it is not in my own, you know, because in my weakness, he's made strong. And so all of my sufficiency is in Christ, which empowers me to be enough. Because I am in him, right? And he is in me. And so when I get that, and I know that, I hear what you're saying about, you know, it's like, I am enough, I am enough. And I always, like, I look at that like we're missing the whole first three letters of that. I am is the I am that I am, right? Okay. So in him, I not only am I enough, I am more than enough. Because in him, I am not just a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. And I think it's this what's happening outside of, I would say, the kingdom, is there's a great awakening. So people are wanting to waken up to this truth that they're enough, that I'm valuable, that I have worth, I have all of this stuff. And I think what we have to realize is when we start seeing that transpire, what's happening is that there is a move of God that's awakening people and calling them to their identity. And it is like imperative for us as a kingdom to recognize what's happening so that we can draw people into their right identity and draw them into their being enough and sufficient only in him. because what happens is we think it's just about me. I own my truth. Like, this is my truth. Well, no, because your truth is subjective. There is one truth, and that truth is Jesus, right? So if your truth isn't submitted to the truth of Jesus, then it's not truth. It's your opinion.
Right.
And our
opinions don't
carry as much weight as the actual truth. The truth of what Jesus is and what he says and what he's provided for us. And so our sufficiency is in Christ and of Christ. And coming into that awareness changes everything. And I hope that answered your question. I'm still kind of trying to find this post because now I got to go back and look. Where is it?
Well, and our perception is always tainted by the reality of our circumstances. And we want it to be covered by the reality of God and his blessing and his kingdom. That's literally that whole, our kingdom, the kingdom of God coming now through us. But if I'm always spending my time trying to convince myself that I by myself am enough, I'm missing everything that God has. I'm missing the whole shebang, and that is that where I am insufficient, he is sufficient. Where I am weak, he is strong. So,
yes,
you know, not to be in denial of our weakness. So let's
exactly.
Pivot
I found
just a minute.
It. I found the post.
Oh, okay.
It says you have to choose to create the space you want to live in. I live under an open heaven, so therefore I choose to create an open space where there is never a never-ending flow of God's love, goodness, grace, and mercy in my life, an unending flow that pours through me so it can pour out of me. I choose to walk from a space of gratitude and abundance because from this space I am, meaning he is enough, and therefore I am enough. And what I was in that morning, during my morning meditations, I always have to center myself back. And I'll use language and I'll use verbiage that sounds universalist if we want to put a name on it. Like, I'll say the universe. Like, I'll say the universe is open to me. I'll say words like frequency and vibration. One, because those things are real. If you study science, the earth has a frequency. Sound has a frequency. The earth has a vibration. Rocks do have vibrations, right? That's true. But what has happened is that language has been taken hostage and used.
Right.
Like in new age realms and stuff. So what I am, I'm a reformist and I'm a revivalist and I'm a reclaimer. So I reclaim what belongs to the Lord, right? That's what I do. So I'm taking language back. So if anybody hears that and they say, oh, she sounds new agey, I am new agey. But I'll tell you what I mean by new agey. It means I'm under the new covenant. I operate under the new testament.
Amen.
And I'm a new creature and a new creation. And therefore, I bring new revelation and truth that is based solely rooted in Jesus Christ. Because we have to reclaim the things that have been taken hostage and is luring people out of the kingdom, away from the kingdom, into alternative religions. And so anyway, saying that to say this, right, is that I center myself, because some people say that's yoga, that's whatever. No, I'm centering myself around Jesus, who he is in my life, and reminding myself I live under open heaven. The heavens are not closed. Jesus tore the veil. There's no longer a separation between the natural and the supernatural. It's just not. There is an open heaven. We live under an open heaven. We have direct access to the throne of grace. We can go boldly before the throne, and we've been made upright in the Lord, right? And there's no good thing that he will withhold from those that walk upright before him. And the revelation that I have of that is that orphans come on knees, hands, and knees. Orphans come begging. Sons come walking upright. So we have access. So, you know, in days of monarchy and things like that, how they have to come, like, we can't look at the king. We have to come, like, groveling almost. But a son has the right to walk boldly into the throne room. So there's not a closed heaven. We're under an open heaven. But that's not because of my own goodness. It's not because of my own merit. It's because of who I am. Because of Jesus, I've been made righteous. And so in that righteousness, I walk upright to my Father and can sit with him and hold space with him. And I'm always in a space of gratitude and thanksgiving. And out of that space creates his abundance in my life. I realize that it's a never-ending, God's grace doesn't run out. His mercy doesn't run out. It's renewed every single day. And so if I can't exhaust it, right? And when I think about that, if that doesn't strike up gratitude, and it makes you such, gives you such a tuned awareness of God's abundance, which is his love, his provision, everything that I need is in I am. It's not in myself. Everything that I need is in him. All of my sufficiency is in him. And therefore, because he's enough, I am enough.
Right. Amen. I love it. I love it. So I'm going to tell you what, we're going to take another quick break. We're already at that commercial break again. When we come back, Dr. Tony, you have so much wisdom and so many amazing things to share. And I want you to tell our audience a little bit about how they can connect with you and some of the different things, the ministries that you are involved in and working through, your Bible studies, all that sort of thing. And then we'll ask a couple of topical questions relevant to the Bible study that we spoke about today. Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll see you in just 3 minutes.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money, so check out Marti.com.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. We're back and we are talking with Dr. Toni Robinson. Man, she's had so much insight. Like, I really feel like I am just learning from the experts whenever you're around Dr. Toni, just so you know. Like, I have the most love for you, but also, like, just the biggest heart of admiration for you and all the things that you do. And I'd love to share with the listeners, I know you have several opportunities where people can connect with you. You have amazing weekend experiences where you can go on retreat with people and they can learn directly from you. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the opportunities that people have now to work directly with you?
I can. And so for those that don't know, my Metron is in the marketplace. So I am a prophetic voice in the marketplace. And so what that means is I get to work with people. I work with entrepreneurs and business owners and executives, C-suite executives and things of that nature to help them get heaven's blueprint for their businesses. And so we get to have a lot of fun. I work with the people one-on-one and getting heaven's blueprints and how to run their business in direct tandem with God, troth with the Father, right? Sometimes we're Christians in business, and sometimes we're Christians with the business, but we're called to be kingdom business, right, and to do business in tandem with God for the kingdom, in the kingdom, by the kingdom. And so I have a really fun weekend retreat. I have one coming up in December, which is a dream retreat, which helps entrepreneurs and business people to come, and we eat from a Thursday evening to a Sunday. And for the whole weekend, we'll be planning your exit strategy for the year, your entrance plan for the new year, what's God's dream and heart for your business, what does that look like, how to grow it, and by your presence, because we need the presence of believers in the marketplace, right? And so that, and then for more corporate, I have some things called Atelier, which is one-on-one. We're heads of companies, and their spouses can come and spend the entire weekend with me in Utah, like totally dreaming and revamping your business for God. And then we have an amazing five-day retreat that we do called Elevate in Mexico, which we have one coming up in January, where it's designed to take you into a whole different realm with God in your business. And I have the Daughters of the Well, which is my favorite because it's not work, although I love, love, love my job. I have the funnest job in the world for me. But Daughters of the Well is where I get to spend time with amazing, beautiful women, and we go away to these amazing retreats for weekends to encounter God with sisterhood, fellowship. We have one coming up at the end of this month in Oklahoma. So they change locations all the time. And then if there's folks that are interested in the prophetic, I have something called the Prophetic Collective, where we do mentoring and training in prophecy, prophetic, what it is to be able to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that all believers have been given, you know, because we can all operate out of this, you know, from the gifts of the Spirit. So lots of fun ways to connect with me. So I guess I should tell you where those are. So the Prophetic Collective The Prophetic Collective is the propheticcollective.com. To work with me as a one-on-one client or a retreat is masterdreamacademy.com. And Daughters of the Well is daughtersofthewell.com. And then they can always find me on Instagram and Facebook.
How much does all of this cost? Because, like, all this sounds cool, but how much do I have to pay to get into this?
Mariah's pulling up her bank account right now. I think she was really excited about that prophetic study there.
And the entrepreneurship.
Oh,
well,
uh-huh.
Daughters,
oh, yeah,
well, really all of it.
Well, with
this
the,
must be adopted.
I mean, come on in the room, girl. You know, because I love you anyway. So yeah, there's the investments. The investments are at varying levels. So we have something now that is a prophetic assessment, which is a 9-week mentoring program. We meet on Monday night. That starts next week, and I think the investment for that is $500. And I have an amazing team that I work with that are all. Listen, it changes your life. It changes your life. The Daughters of the Well retreat, I believe it is $650. We have two price points, a $450 price point and a $650 price point. But with those price points, it's all inclusive. So for $650, it's your lodging. It is all of your meals. It is all of your swag, and I don't know if you've ever seen any of my pictures on the retreat, but we get really, really good stuff. Like, you're not just going to get some tissue, a pen, and a journal. No, you're going to get really good stuff that you will treasure for life. I usually spend more on gifts than anything. So, but it's your lodging, it's your meals, it's all of that. The business, the entrepreneurial side of it for the Dream Retreat that's in December, I believe the price point for that is $2,150. And again, that includes your lodging, all of your business strategizing sessions. You get 90 days worth of cohort and a one-on-one session with me to help, you know, to all that needs to be done. So there's a lot to that. The atelier experience,
well,
where we
so
get to bring couples. Yeah, it is because the atelier starts at $10,000 for the weekend, and Elevate is at $20,000. But it's what we call, how we call it, a businesscation, a retreatcation, because we, I have a villa, and it is a private villa, think mansion or boutique hotel type of villa. It's on the beach. There's butler service. There's personal chef service. It is all inclusive.
Wow.
All of your excursions, because it's full sensory. So whether we're snorkeling,
right,
swimming with dolphins, it's all inclusive because all of that is part of your dreaming with God experience.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fabulous. And I know how much value you bring to the marketplace there. I want to open up to some callers because they may have specific questions for you. And, of course, we've got some questions here from the Bible study that we can chit-chat about. But let's give that guest call-in number. It's 319-527-6208. Press 1 if you want to talk to us. You can always just call in there so you can listen in. But if you press 1, you'll get in queue, and it'll let me know that you want to talk to us. That's 319-527-6208. Of course, you know you can also ask questions via chat. So if you're joining us online through blogtalkradio.com, I do have the chat window open. I'm staring at it. So if you have a question, feel free to do it that way. I do have some friends who text me every once in a while. I try to keep up on that, but running the switchboard, sometimes I'm a little slow there. So those are the best ways. You can call in 319-527-6208, press 1. Oh, and we've got a caller. Let's see who it is. Hi there, you're on air with Dynamic Word Bible Studies. Who's talking to us today?
This is Rachel Otiato. Hey, Dr. Tony and Felicia.
Hey, Rachel.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Rachel was just a guest on our show. I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah, sure to hear Dr. Tony speak. She's always bringing so much fresh revelation.
Oh, yeah, she's no, like God's anointed right there. It's amazing. I love it. I'm so thankful she came to join us. Did you have a question for us, a comment? What did you want to add? I know you have value to bring too, girl.
No, I did have a question. So it was for Dr. Toni when she talked about the war was against our identity and our gifting. I just wanted to know if you could expound a little bit about the war against our gifting.
I sure can. Because your gift, the gift that you've called to be, the gift that God has called you to be, the gift that you're called to operate and function in, right? That is what mm-hmm. changes the world. Okay, so I'll use myself as an example if I can. Okay, well, let's just use, so I don't sound narcissistic, let's use Felicia as an example. She is a dynamic expository of the word. She loves God's word. She is a teacher of God's word. So the war is always going to be one against our identity of the son and daughter, making us feel like we're not valued, we're not worthy. Who do we think we are to be able to try to teach anything about God or speak for God? Or, but then the gift, the attack against her gifting will try to make her, and I don't know if you've experienced this, I'm using this example, like to feel like you don't have anything to say, or like, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, or what if I'm misunderstanding or misinterpreting? And it tries to silence her teaching gift. Because that mm-hmm. teaching gift, because how can the people learn unless they're taught? So if it silences her gift of teaching, there are people that will go unlearned and uninformed about God and his truth and his nature and his characteristics and who we are as God, right? And what happens, we think, oh, it's just a couple of people. No. How many people that she does she not even realize that this show will reach, right? And what happens is that not it will rob those people. But then what about the people that are teaching will impact, which then changes their view of God, their understanding of Scripture, which changes their lives and how they teach it, and then how they pour into the next generation, how the generation that generation will pour into the next generation. So if we attack your gifting and we can silence it, we don't just silence you. We silence generations of people who will have been impacted by the gift that God has placed inside of you.
Yeah, and just to validate what you're saying, that's like the decades-long struggle that I've had. Because, mm-hmm. yes, the natural gifting is the teacher, and I literally have moments where I'm like, what do you add to God's word? Nothing. The reason I started this show was because I had a professor who basically said, I challenge you to teach through the Bible. And what I was taught was God's already said everything that he ever wanted to say to the world in the Bible. Your job is to let him say it again through you to a new generation. And that's it.
And
that broke
through
all that.
And exactly. And your life itself has value, right? Because you remember the epistles are the gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to John, the gospel according to Luke. So even what you're teaching, while teaching with the word, you're also giving us the gospel according to Felicia, according to your relationship with Jesus, that is a living witness
right.
that we get to watch out. And so if that's silent, we miss that.
Right, right, mm. right.
Good stuff. Okay, I had another question. One more.
Okay, good. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dr. Toni, when you said that I wanted you to expound upon this because I'm trying to absorb all this because some of this is like really new for me. Okay, so when you said that we should live like Jesus before the cross, not after the cross, can you expound upon
mm-hmm.
that a bit?
I can. And Dub actually taught about this in class last week, is because we're trying to reproduce all the works of Jesus, right? And so what we do is that we're living like, okay, like we even with the scripture, like take up, well, we've taken up the cross of Jesus, right? So he's brought us into freedom. And so salvation isn't bondage, this thing that we're working through and working out. And I love that he said, right, the consequence of the cross is not that we've been convicted of righteousness, so that righteousness is now our identity, and that righteousness deliverance brings us into freedom. So we don't have to strive and we don't have to work in this place of trying to please and to make sure that we're living all of this. We're free. We've been brought into freedom. So on this side of the cross, everything that Jesus did and we died in him, we're resurrected in him, we're seated in heavenly places, we're abiding in him, he abides in us, so we no longer have to work this thing out like we're working to get to heaven, because if we don't, we'll miss this, we won't go to heaven, and all of this stuff. No, we're in him, he's in us, right? And so we're living in this place of freedom where we no longer, and I think we look at this like, we talked about this a little bit earlier, about the sin management, and so I don't want to go back into that because Felicia taught about that last week, where we live from a place of no longer having to manage sin to please Christ, but now we're walking out of the pleasure of God. And we're walking mm-hmm. in freedom, and we have a different viewpoint. We have a different look at God. Oh, gosh, okay, I'm about to get in trouble. And Felicia, you have a podcast that occurred. They can clean this up afterwards, okay? Because I don't want your show to be coming under fire, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord loves, and that's the truth. One of the worst messages, in my personal opinion, that was ever preached in the history of preaching a message was sinners in the hands of an angry God, because that created a very horrific theology that God was this fierce, horrible God that's so angry at humanity and man, and he can't look at us because we're sinners and we don't have value and all this stuff. And so here's Jesus that has the step in place, angry, his angry father, right? When that's not true. God has always right. loved us, period. When we go back to the garden, and people have this concept of going back to the garden, when they were moved out of the garden and there was the angels that were put around the fire, right? It wasn't to keep them out of the garden. What it was is to protect them from eating from the tree of life, because now they had a knowledge of good and evil. So what if they would have went right. and got a hold to the fruit of the tree of life? It would have locked them for all eternity. They would have had eternal right. life in a fallen state. So see how God's nature was always to protect and to cover us, and even down to the animal sacrifice, to covering us with the blood. That's always been his nature, and he's always wanted to bring us back to himself. But Jesus was the way to restore us, to reconcile us, because we think Jesus just came and died for our sins. No, the main purpose of that was for him to reconcile us back to the heart of the Father. And so when we get that, we can, once we get that, oh, I'm reconciled back to the Father. Wait a minute, I've been made one with him through Christ Jesus? You mean I don't have to keep doing all of the stuff to please him, to make him love me? And to, okay, so I can rest in my salvation, and by rest, it doesn't mean we sit on our laurels and do nothing else, like, oh, I'm just skating into heaven, but it means we've been empowered to live victorious lives in Christ. We've been empowered to yep. change the world, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it is in us, right? So because God is in heaven and heaven's in us, so it's a whole thought process that's being renewed and being transformed, that's bringing people into this reality of who we've called to be, that we walk out victorious lives that change the world, so that we are able to do what God originally mandated us to do, because the mandate never changed. We're still called to be fruitful and multiply. But right. now we're being fruitful right. and being fishers of men. Does that make sense?
It always goes back to God's original plan. And can I just pop in and add something real quick? And I know that Mariah will be excited to hear this too, is that one of my favorite teachings I ever sat under was one by Pastor Jerry Dierman out of The Rock, Anaheim. And he was talking about how we were God's daily delight. And she's smiling just even thinking about it. I remember crying the first time I heard it. Because I agree, and I think that it's been culturally pervasive, this concept of an angry Father God that wants to punish. And that's not biblical. In Psalms, mm-hmm. it says that Christ was the Father's daily delight, and he delighted in us.
Yes.
Like, it's really, I was listening to Dr. Jerry Stott the other day. Let me finish this real quick, and then we'll go back. Dr. Jerry Stott, and he's amazing, and he was talking about how we are to worship God, and the word that was used in there was a word that kind of meant like the way a dog licks the hand of his master, which seems like an odd revelation, but it's all about us wanting to be in the presence of our master above all other things. Think about, we have a dog now. We've never had a dog, but I'm going to tell you, when I come, that dog is just so happy to see me, and he wants nothing more than to touch me and to be in my presence. And like, we're called to have that sort of an attitude of being in the presence of our Father. Not to be concerned of an angry Father, but just to desire presence deeply. So, and
yes,
Mariah, you had something to add.
It reminds me of this conversation of when this one kid had said the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is God got saved by Jesus in the New Testament. And it's funny, but it just shows how much we don't know God, and when we don't know God, we don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was teaching a summer school at one of my old jobs for kindergartners, and we're talking about the garden and how God created everything, but he didn't just create it because he likes the stuff, but he did it with us in mind. I had a friend who one time said when God created the world, he was creating a nursery for his children. You know, when mom was building a nursery for Caitlin and Cross, or mostly Caitlin. Cross. You just didn't get that privilege.
He was the third child. You just get less stuff every time you have another kid.
But when they're creating her room, they picked all these things that she would like. Oh, she would like these purple butterflies. And she wasn't even born yet, but they were just creating all of this stuff in her room because it was for her and thought of her in that she would like. And so I'm telling this one little kid, like, God created oranges because he knew you would like it. And I never met this kid before this day. He was new. And the kid looked at me and said, how did God know I liked oranges? How did you know I liked oranges? Well, like, God told me. And he's like, God did that for me. And it like changed, like his little mind was blown.
Except strawberries and cantaloupe.
Strawberries and cantaloupe, that was for us. Just think about what your favorite things are. Coffee, strawberries, bananas, flowers. He did all of that. Sunrises. He did all of that with you in mind, being like, oh, Hannah's really going to like this. John's going to love this.
And we're called to be in that constant attitude of thankfulness towards the Lord for everything that he's done for us.
And he gave the guy who invented Pringles the idea with mind, be like, oh, this is going to be Cross's favorite snack.
Yes, Cross. I love Pringles, too. Yes.
Yes. And it got me thinking one time, I hadn't talked to God in a minute, and I was getting a burger, and I was like, God, do you like hamburgers or burgers? Do you even have that in heaven? And it was just like, what does God like to eat? And that was just really weird to me. It kind of weirded me out, but I was like, you like the hot dogs or the hamburgers better? And I was thinking, well, if God likes hot dogs, clearly he's in the wrong because hamburgers are far superior.
Okay, but let me just throw this out there, guys. So as much as you like hamburgers and your friend liked oranges and we like Pringles and cantaloupe and strawberries, like and we like moving in the prophetic and the teaching gifts and those sorts of things, the Bible says for us not to get overly focused on the gifts, but to be more thankful for the giver. Mm-hmm. And that goes right back to that whole, like, worshiping like the dog licking the hand of the master. Like our drive should be to be in the presence and the powerful presence and the amazing glory of God our Father, who loves us undyingly, who did everything that he had to create that ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ on the cross, so that we could be with him again. He could have lived without us, but he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And that's just it.
Mic drop.
Right there.
Yep. All right, everybody go home.
Oh, we got like less than a minute left, 30 seconds. So, I know Dr. Tony will send me some links so that I can get that up on our Facebook page. Anybody else have anything to add before we head out?
Pretty much everything.
Nope. You're good?
Dr. Tony's
thank
the
you
best.
For having me.
Oh, ladies, thank you so much. I can't tell you what a privilege it's been to be able to be here with you. Thank you so much. And at this point, we got just enough time for the outro. So you guys have a wonderful, blessed week, and we will see you next week. Where
week.
We will be talking about, what are we talking about next week? I forgot. Walking in the Spirit. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited about that teaching.
Bye.
God bless you guys, and have a great week.
I hear you call.